This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Unbelievable twist in the Montana House race. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, May 25th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A reporter for The Guardian says he was grabbed by the neck and thrown to the ground last night by a congressional candidate. We'll have a live update in a little while.
The Congressional Budget Office estimates that millions more Americans would lose coverage under a house insurance bill, but there would also be lower premiums.
Investigators in the UK are looking for the suspect who constructed the bomb that killed 22 people at a concert in Manchester, plus more arrests in the case.
And CEOs pushing back against ubiquitous open floor plans.
I think what you're seeing is a reaction to what's been going on for the last several years or even longer, and that is this sort of relentless drive toward more open office space. You know, a number of CEOs who have tried that and said, no, actually, I like my office after all. I think I'm going to go back to that.
Wall Street Journal reporter Vanessa Furman's on executives looking for at least a little privacy. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, a stunning development on the eve of Montana's special election for the House of Representatives today. A citation for misdemeanor assault has been issued against Republican candidate Greg Gianforte after a reporter for The Guardian newspaper says he body slammed him. Here's how the confrontation sounded last night in Bozeman.
Get the hell out of here! The last guy did the same thing. You were The Guardian?
Yes, and you just broke my glasses.
The last guy did the same damn thing.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
A spokesman for Mr. Gianforte's campaign alleges that reporter Ben Jacobs crashed an interview the candidate was giving to another reporter. Now, the two do have a history. Last month, Mr. Jacobs reported that Mr. Gianforte owns shares in two funds that have investments in Russian companies that are under U.S. sanctions. The special election, by the way, was made necessary after then-Congressman Ryan Zinke became Interior Secretary for the Trump administration. Democratic candidate Rob Quist says he'll leave the matter to law enforcement. The legislation designed to repeal and replace Obamacare that was passed in the House has been reviewed by the Congressional Budget Office, which says 23 million more people would be left uninsured. Democrats are using the report to argue the GOP plan would take coverage from any low-income elderly while doling out benefits to high earners. Here's Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
It is not a health care bill when you force older workers to pay two, three, four times more for the health care that they currently get.
However, the report also said there would be lower overall premiums and would reduce the federal deficit by $119 billion in the next decade. Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse was on Fox News.
And the biggest driver of uninsurance in America is actually job change. It's not socioeconomic status. It's not health status. It's job change. And that's going to happen more and more rapidly. We need to create a healthcare system where families can take a policy with them across job and geographic change.
Meanwhile, as the Senate prepares to take up the issue, centrist Republicans concerned about the number of uninsured hope to make the House bill less far-reaching, while conservatives want to double down on measures the CBO suggests will lower premiums on average. Let's get some analysis now from a guy who lives and breathes this stuff. Roger Abramson is general counsel for Ameriflex, one of the largest independent health benefits administrators in the country. He's with us live this morning. Roger, address this issue of 23 million more people, according to the CBO, being without insurance.
Yeah, that's not a dramatically different number than the original CBO report on the original bill a couple of months ago, and it's for the same reasons. The mandate is will be removed, which is a Republican initiative, and there's no requirement for it, and some of the premiums for a lot of folks will go up in certain demographics, but overall they will go down for most folks, and that's where they're getting that number from. At the end of the day, it's not a huge difference from what it was before.
All right, so this is just to clarify, this is not people getting kicked out of insurance.
Correct.
Or having their policies canceled. There's some assumption here that because there's no longer a mandate as proposed, people would choose to just not purchase health insurance.
Correct. The CBO report, as with anything they do, is an estimate. That's taking nothing away from them. But they're just looking at incentives. They're saying, well, without some of these subsidies, without these requirements and mandates, certain people who have insurance now will choose or want to or have to drop their insurance down the road. It's all just an estimate. And again, not that different from what was before. And Republicans, of course, are going to focus on the notion that, frankly, overall premiums will drop and the deficit numbers will drop.
Right. So would we be heading back to square one, say pre-Obamacare, with the number of Americans without health insurance?
I would say we're never going to go back to square one pre-Obamacare overall. I don't think that a lot of centrist Republicans, even quote-unquote conservative Republicans, are going to be comfortable with this number the way it is for political reasons. And they're going to put in some incentives in the bill on the Senate side. Again, probably some consumer-directed health care initiatives such as HSAs. You heard, I believe that was Senator Sass talk about affordability.
Yeah.
With being able to take your insurance with you when you leave your job, even more protections than that we have now with COBRA and things like that. Politically speaking, this number is not going to fly. They're going to put in some things that are going to help folks with that. And that's what's going to happen.
Mm. We're speaking live this morning with Roger Abramson, General Counsel for Ameriflex, an independent health benefits administrator. This largely is a non-issue anyway, right? I mean, the Senate is going to rewrite a brand new bill.
The Senate's not going to pass this bill. I mean, I'm not the master of the future, but I can pretty much agree that the bill that came over from the House is not what's going to come out of the Senate, if anything comes out of the Senate. Majority Leader McConnell has already said he's not going to be able to find the votes for this. And this has been part of the plan overall, to kick it over there where there's more flexibility with regard to what can be done. And that's where they're going to put on some of these provisions that we're talking about, particularly having to do with pre-existing conditions.
All right,
that's
so,
what I think is going to happen.
All right, so is it possible that Obamacare winds up just staying in place?
From now until something happens, you know, the funny question is, you know, you get the, well, has it gone away? It's not dead. It's still alive. Whether it's kicking, I don't know, but alive. And each day we wake up and there's no new bill, Obamacare takes more root and grows more, and that's going to make it harder to remove, repeal, and replace, as a lot of hardcore Republicans want to do. As every day goes by, it's going to be a question of how much Obamacare are we going to be keeping and mm-hmm. adjusting. And as every day goes by, there's going to be more of that.
Is Obamacare imploding, as some people say?
I'm not a fan of that word. I know the president used that word because it kind of gives off the impression that we're going to wake up you know, next week and it's gone. It's withering away slowly but surely. I think there was a report yesterday in Missouri, I believe it was, to home into that. There were a couple of insurers that pulled out of about 13 counties over there. Now there's no insurers. It's the analogy I like to use is a tree in the fall. The leaves are falling. The leaves are falling. You're going to wake up in middle of December and there are no more leaves. Over time, it will be, and what's going to happen is, and I think this is the president's play, is there's going to be enough political pain as it does where there's going to be a move to do what it takes to fix it.
Roger, always appreciate a few minutes. Thanks much. Roger Abramson, General Counsel for Ameriflex. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into a Thursday. Authorities in the UK say the suicide bomber who killed 22 people at a concert in Manchester Monday night likely had the help of a terror network. A leading theory is that a technician in the UK constructed the bomb. The hunt is on to find that person. Meanwhile, British intelligence agencies and police made 5 additional arrests across Greater Manchester yesterday. Separately, British Home Secretary Amber Rudd told the BBC she's angry that details of the investigation have been leaked to the press by American officials.
So it is irritating if it gets released from other sources. And I have been very clear with our friends that should not happen again.
Meanwhile, 22-year-old Salman Abedi, responsible for the attack at an Ariana Grande concert, left England as a teenager to fight alongside his father in their home country of Libya, trying to oust former leader Muammar Gaddafi. In another development, officials said his brother confessed to a Libyan militia that the two of them belong to Islamic State. It's not clear how that confession was obtained. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
We're visiting a city he once called a hellhole to meet with leaders of an alliance he threatened to abandon. President Trump is in the heart of Europe today to address a continent still reeling from his election and anxious about his support. Trump is slated to attend his first meeting of NATO, where Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says Trump will ask the organization to chip in more.
You can expect the president to be very tough on him, on saying, look, the U.S. is spending 4%. We're doing a lot. The American people are doing a lot for your security, for our joint security. You need to make sure you're doing your share for your own security as well.
Trump has so far refused to commit to abiding by Article 5, in which member nations vow to come to each other's defense. A Democratic political novice hopes to pull off a surprise victory in Republican-leading Montana today in a special congressional race, roiled on the eve of voting by allegations that the Republican candidate physically assaulted a reporter. Democrat Rob Quist is facing off against Republican Greg Gianforte, who got into a confrontation with the U.S. correspondent for The Guardian.
Get the hell out of here.
You'd like me to get the hell out of here, I'd also like to call the police. Can I get you guys' names?
Hey, you gotta leave.
He just body slammed me.
You gotta leave.
Reporter Ben Jacobs says his eyeglasses were broken in the incident. Gianforte has received a citation for misdemeanor assault. Gianforte and Quist are running for the seat vacated when President Trump named Ryan Zinke as Secretary of the Interior. You might soon be required to remove all electronics and some food items from your carry-on bags. The TSA says it's testing new screening procedures because some everyday items can appear similar to explosives in an X-ray machine. The process is being tested in about 10 airports around the country. 10 of the 15 fastest-growing cities with populations of 50,000 or more were spread across the South in 2016, with 4 of the top 5 found in Texas. Conroe, Texas was the fastest-growing of the 15, seeing a 7.8% increase from 2015 to 16. Others include Frisco, McKinney, and Georgetown.
Yogi Berra would say nobody goes there anymore. These towns are too crowded. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. Led by CEOs such as Michael Bloomberg, more executives have ditched the corner office for an open desk to project camaraderie with the masses. But as employees and managers squeeze closer together, productivity and morale have reportedly suffered. Now some CEOs are seeking alternatives. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Vanessa Fermans. Vanessa, what are we seeing?
I think what you're seeing is a reaction to what's been going on for the last several years or even longer, and that is this sort of relentless drive toward more open office space. You know, in the beginning, it started with cubicles, and then those cubicle walls came down, so people often are sitting, you know, at a sea of open desks. And in the last decade especially, you've seen more CEOs themselves actually joining that open office space. Some of it is in the name of egalitarianism, in the name of collaboration. You know, a number of CEOs who have tried that and said, no, actually, I like my office after all. I think I'm going to go back to that.
How's that sitting, I guess, with the rank and file employees?
Well, I spoke to a number of the employees of the bosses I spoke to, and actually they don't have a problem with it. Actually, what you hear a lot of them saying is that it felt a little weird sometimes to be sitting right next to their bosses while they were working. There was certainly a feeling of self-consciousness or, you know, walking on eggshells at times. So I think it cuts both ways. I think I'm sure a lot of employees would also like to have their own private spaces, but they weren't so concerned that their own bosses were getting some themselves.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal staff writer Vanessa Fermans about her piece entitled CEOs Want Their Offices Back. All right, so who'd you talk to that's kind of pushing back here, or really taking some physical action within an office space to get an office back?
Well, I mean, these are typically the companies that I spoke to, and the bosses were typically, they had some wherewithal to do it. You know, they were the founders of their companies. They were, or they were the big boss, or they were, they were trying out. They just wanted to try something out new. I think a middle manager, for instance, would have a much harder time saying, if not impossible time, saying I would like my own office when that is not the way it's done at their company.
So is it too soon to say that the pendulum actually is swinging back toward more CEO offices?
I think it's a very hard, the open office trend is a very hard one to fight back against. It seems once the walls come down, they rarely go back up.
Thanks, Vanessa. Wall Street Journal reporter Vanessa Fermans. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, May 25. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. A candidate for Congress in Montana is hit with a citation after grabbing a reporter by the neck and slamming him to the ground.
Get the hell out of here! The last guy did the same thing. You were the guardian?
Yes, and you just broke my glasses.
The last guy did the same damn thing.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
Elsewhere, the Congressional Budget Office says 23 million more Americans would be without health insurance under the House bill. Alabama inmate tries to avoid execution for an eighth time before tonight. Sotheby's auctioning the bag Neil Armstrong used to collect moon rocks. Could fetch $4 million. NASA's not happy. In hockey, Sens and Pens game 7 tonight, and claiming a massive lottery prize with just hours to spare in New York. That story in about 20 minutes. How about this unfolding story in Montana? We're joined now by Scott Fredericks, morning host at News Talk 730 KYYA in Billings, Montana, one of our affiliates. He's with us live this morning. Scott, since this House seat represents everyone in Montana, what's the buzz right now?
Well, the buzz right now, Gordon, is Montana is a huge absentee ballot state, so probably about 70%, maybe 75% of the votes already in. So with a few undecided, it might make a difference. I'm not really sure on that one.
Wow. So it's possible that he could have punched his ticket already.
Yeah, it has its possibilities. The race has gotten so close over these past few weeks, over $17 million. Has been spent on this race already.
Goodness. Will this be the only topic, I presume, at the voting booth today?
Well, I kind of imagine that would be it, plus, the health care thing that just came out last night. So, yeah, this is going to be one of the major topics. Plus, in Montana right now, of course, the slaying of the deputy over in western Montana. This sheriff in question right now over in Gallatin County handled a lot of the investigation on that case also. So that's still going on right now, too.
What's the role of President Trump in this race?
Well, Montana, Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton by about 20-some points, and that's kind of the way that Montana's kind of leaning right now, Republicans. So, it's kind of like if you're a Trump, supporter, you're probably a Greg Gianforte supporter, too. So I don't know if it's really going to make that much difference.
Wow. Any evidence of this behavior, by the way, on the campaign trail by Mr. Gianforte?
Not really at all. Greg's been going across the state of Montana. Of course, he ran for the governorship and lost by about 3-4 points on that one. So not really, but it's been a pretty heated race so far. like I said, a lot of money being spent here in the Big Sky Country.
It's incredible. We're speaking live this morning with Scott Fredericks, morning show host at News Talk 730 KYYA in Billings, Montana, one of our affiliates for this program. He's with us live talking about what went down last night in Bozeman. Do you think that Mr. Gianforte was rattled by this report about having money in these index funds that invested in Russian companies being sanctioned?
Well, it's kind of like the 11th hour news, so I think this is one topic he didn't really want to talk about, but it was out there, and this reporter wanted the answer to that question, and wasn't a very good time, I believe.
Unbelievable. Are you a WWE fan, by the way?
No, but, you know, it looks like a little bit of that going on in Montana now.
I was going to ask if this was more of an Undertaker move or a Kane move, but I couldn't tell the difference. Ultimately, what do you think the fallout will be here, Scott? Give us a read on what Montanans or how Montanans are processing this.
Well, I think, you know, Montanans, you know, they take everything into accord. They listen to all the facts, and they're just going to let the facts kind of, you know, answer their questions when they go to the voting booth today. But like I said, a lot of folks already voted here in the Big Sky Country, so I don't really know if that's going to make too big a difference.
You know both these candidates? You talk to them?
Yeah, both of them have been in my studios, real nice guys. Rob Quist, of course, he's been in Montana for a lot of years, musicians. He's been in a few different bands and everything. And great guy. Greg Gianforte is a great guy, too. But it was very contested race, a lot of money being spent, a lot of, you know, crisscrossing the state of Montana. Vice President Pence was here in the Big Sky Country a couple of weeks ago. Also, Donald Trump Jr. and Bernie Sanders was just in Billings last Saturday. So a lot of folks coming to the Big Sky Country to, you know, try and get folks out to vote for their candidates.
Crisscrossing Montana is no small feat, by the way.
No, it takes about close to 10, 11 hours to get across from the eastern part to the western part. So it's a big state.
Very good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes, Scott, much appreciated. Scott Fredericks, morning show host at News Talk 730 KYYA in Billings, Montana. Talk about the incident with Greg Gianforte, the Republican congressional candidate last night. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us on this Friday eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, when police pulled over a Tennessee couple and told them a body was lying on the trunk of their car, they thought it was a joke until they got out to look. When they did, they found an unconscious man who had somehow remained on the trunk for about 14 miles. Driver Carl Webb told reporters he had left the Memphis in May barbecue festival before the officer pulled him over. Memphis police say that Officer Benjamin Huff noticed what appeared to be a man on the black Ford Taurus traveling about 65 miles per hour down an expressway.
Whoa.
And pulled the car over. Yeah, they weren't going slow. After alerting the couple, he woke the man. He was disoriented and did not remember leaving the festival. No charges were filed. Police did not explain how the man remained unconscious on the trunk, but credited the officer with possibly saving a life. Webb said there's a slight lip on the trunk of the car that also helped to save the man's life.
Like a little spoiler or something?
Yeah, I guess so. So, yeah, not going around the block at, you know, 10, 25 miles an hour. No, on the highway at 65.
Holy smokes.
Thankfully, well, I think he wasn't speeding, I guess.
Well, I have a theory, I mean, as to how this went down.
Okay.
And how a man would wind up, say, lying on the trunk of a car at the, this is a festival, you said?
Yes.
So,
barbecue festival.
I mean, I don't want to share those theories. I'm not an investigator, but it strikes me that certain things could happen where you would wind up lying on the trunk of a car and not waking up as the car is driving 65 miles an hour down a highway for 14 miles.
And not remember how you got there.
And not remembering
in the first
how you
place.
Got there.
Yeah, exactly.
That is unbelievable. I mean, you would think, right, when you initially hit the gas, just the acceleration of the car would knock anything off. Like a cup of coffee would go flying off your roof, right?
Yeah.
This guy somehow, I mean, that he's alive today, really.
Yeah.
I mean, 65 miles an hour?
Yeah.
You're not surviving that if you fall off the back of a car.
No,
I wouldn't think.
This is not happening too often.
Holy smokes.
About the luckiest person on earth. And if you're a fan of hapless basketball teams, you're in luck. The biggest losers of all time are making a comeback. ESPN.com reported that the Washington Generals, who lost more than 17,000 games and last beat their foes, the Harlem Globetrotters, in 1971, have been purchased by Hershen Enterprises, the same company that owns the Globetrotters, paving the way for them to return to being the Trotters' doormats after a two-year hiatus. Sources said the Generals will be put into rotation to play the Globetrotters again as early as this this summer and will take on a greater life than before as the Lovable Losers. A website, a Twitter handle, even a line of merchandise are in the works. Despite their reputation, the Generals do have a few wins on their ledger, one over the Taiwanese national team and another over a squad from the Russian Army, in addition to their famed one-point victory over the Globetrotters over 45 years ago.
What went down in that?
Sounds like somebody went rogue.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was like maybe they just got a little fed up one day and decided that they're gonna win.
I presume they're paid to lose, right?
Yeah.
They're paid to show up and
are you
look
saying that these games are not on the up and up?
Oh, listen.
Are you saying that you're not allowed to use a ladder on the court like the Globetrotters do?
I remember Curly Neal. I mean, he'd go to his knees and into a slide and still be dribbling and all that. And the confetti in the water bucket got me every time.
Yeah. As me as well.
Yeah.
As a 10-year-old, that was about the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Right. Well, I would actually wear a Washington Generals t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's something I would support. I could get behind
that.
Go
for the underdogs, right?
That's right. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. It's Small Business Month, and Dell is celebrating innovators and job creators in a big way, like up to 40% off business PCs big. Even a free 1 terabyte external hard drive with select purchases big. Call 877-BUY-DELL today to connect with a U.S.-based advisor. They're ready to help with tech solutions tailored to your business, like finding just the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, because your hard work is more than appreciated, it's admired. Call 877-BUY-DELL today. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to congressional candidate Greg Gianforte is being charged with misdemeanor assault after a reporter said the Republican body slammed him yesterday, the day before the polls closed in the nationally watched special election in Montana. Gianforte got into the dispute with reporter Ben Jacobs of The Guardian.
Get the hell out of here! The last guy did the same thing. You were The Guardian?
Yes, and you just broke my glasses.
You, the last guy did the same damn thing.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
A spokesman for Gianforte's campaign says Jacobs crashed an interview the candidate was giving another reporter and began asking badgering questions. The maximum penalty if Gianforte is convicted is a $500 fine and 6 months in jail. As Britain races to hunt down a jihadist network thought to be behind the Manchester concert attack, a dispute is escalating between London and Washington over leaked material from the probe. UK Home Secretary Amber Rudd says U.S. intelligence is giving too much information to the media.
The British police have been very clear that they want to control the flow of information in order to protect operational integrity, the element of surprise.
Libyan authorities have detained the suicide bomber's father as well as his brother, and police in Britain also carried out new arrests and raids. According to an estimate from the Congressional Budget Office, the health overhaul bill approved by House Republicans would leave 23 million more people uninsured while reducing the cumulative federal deficit by $119 billion in the next decade compared with current law. New York Senator Chuck Schumer.
The reason they rushed it through in the House without a CBO score is they'd be embarrassed by the score that came out today.
The report by the nonpartisan CBO is likely to upend current Senate talks over its version of the bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. Safe to say the TV remake of Dirty Dancing that aired last night on ABC wasn't too well received by critics or viewers. Variety called the show a sappy, passionless, schlocky remake. Twitter lit up with comments like, somebody needs to put this whole movie in the corner. And just like that, Havana Nights doesn't seem so bad.
Wow. Schlocky? That's harsh.
There are much worse comments that I could not say on the air.
You know what the problem is? You cannot compete when Naked and Afraid pop-up edition is on TV.
Is that what it was?
That's what it is. It just saps viewers from all other programming when that's on.
Yeah, that's what happened.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. This person either has a flair for drama or just really good timing. Lottery officials in New York said a $24 million jackpot has been claimed only 2 days before the ticket would have expired. The New York Lottery said a person came to the Beaver Street Customer Service Center in Manhattan Tuesday and claimed the $24 million ticket that was due to expire today. UPI says the winner had apparently been unaware of the win until recent news coverage of the unclaimed prize led them to look through a pile of old tickets and uncover the winning ticket from the lotto drawing May 25th of last year. The ticket matched winning numbers 5, 12, 13, 22, 25, 35, as well as bonus number 51. Gwyneth Dean, director of the New York State Gaming Commission's Division of the Lottery, says, "We're thrilled that this lucky winner was able to locate this life-changing ticket. We look forward to introducing this multimillionaire who came forward in the nick of time." Officials said the winner's identity will be announced in the near future. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.